Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Planning Committee of the 25th of April 2023. So I would just like to introduce our top table here. So my name is Councillor Vicky Gould. I am the chairman. On my left-hand side, I have our legal representative, Sherry Grant. And on her left, Leah Ass. And then on my right-hand side, I have got my planning officers, Alan Harvey and Barbara Toy. And we do have Emily Summers joining us for the second application. So I'd like to start off with the introduction then of our committee, and I'll start on my left, please.
Councillor Beryl Toon.
Councillor Greg Hall.
Councillor Ed Barker.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Faulkner.
Good afternoon, Councillor Alison Legg. Councillor Louise Walker.
Councillor Kemble.
Councillor Granman.
Thank you all. Polite reminder then, please switch off your mobile phones so we have no interruptions. We are not expecting a fire alarm, but if we do get one, if you can please just exit out of the closest door and we will meet out on the car park area. Can we ask that you do not call out or please speak while we are talking, just for the sake of no interruptions, so we can hear the debate that's happening. And I think that's it for the reminders that we need to do and the housekeeping. So I'd like to move on to our agenda items. Are there any apologies for absence? Councillor Whittaker. Thank you. And from our Democratic Services Officer, Monica Henchcliffe, do we have any declarations of interest? Do we know of? Anyone here? Councillor
Lamont. Can I make a declaration of interest on the Tutbury Road application? Because okay. I've got certain concerns.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't qualify to vote on the second application because I wasn't here at the first meeting where it was deferred, okay. And I haven't attended a site visit.
Okay,
Councillor Hall.
Yeah. Councillor
Bills. Yeah, same as Councillor Hall.
Okay. Yeah. Councillor Walker.
Just that I live on Ralston Road, further down the road.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further from our councillors? Okay, so I'll carry on further. We're on to the minutes from the last meeting, which was on the 28th of February. Do we have any comments that we need to make on those minutes? Can I propose then that they are a true record? Sorry, we're just going to go through back to the declarations of interest, and Sherry would just like to clarify something.
It's just with Councillor Walker, actually. You say that you lived on Ralston Road. It's not going to affect any prejudicial interest of yours, and you do come here with an open mind. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're happy with that. So I'll put forward, moving on to the minutes then, that they are a true record. Do I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Toon, thank you. All those in favour of those minutes then? Okay. Got those? Any against? And abstentions then, please? Nope. All good. Right. Monica, any urgent business to be brought?
There's no urgent business, Chairman.
Thank you. So then we move on to our planning permissions then. So I would like to hand over to Barbara, who will present the first item.
Good afternoon. The first case this afternoon is application P2022-00642 is for Lawns Farm, Branston Road, Tatton Hill. The proposal is a reserve matters application with all matters for consideration pursuant to the outline consent P/2012 01467 for the erection of 284 dwellings and associated garaging, public open space and associated works. The black line denotes the application site boundary, which is within the Branston Locks Sustainable Urban Extension. Immediately to the west of the site is a hillside of woodland. To the south and the north is the remainder of the Branston Locks development, with existing phases to the south and southeast. To the east is the to the east is the canal. And to the east of the canal are the industrial units as part of the employment part of the urban extension. This identifies the site in relation to the other developments that are already under construction or completed. The yellow section is Cameron Homes Phase 1. The pinky salmony area is Cameron Homes Phase 2. The blue is Taylor Wimpey development, which is where we went this morning to view from the end of the Taylor Wimpey site across to the application site. This is the whole of the Branston Locks development. So you see, as well as the areas that I've just pointed out, the green to the north, that is the Lovell Homes development that came forward to committee approximately 2 years ago now, which is accessed off Shobnal Road. The remainder of the developments to the south of the site are all accessed off Branston Road. The hatched sort of orange area in the centre of the site, that is the site of the proposed primary school, which we will likely be getting an application for shortly. As part of the outline consent that was approved in 2015, there was a series of conditions on the decision notice, as well as the Section 106 agreement and an approved design guide. This is the overall plan from the design guide, which identifies the different phases of the development and where the spine road will follow through the site and the secondary avenue that will follow through the site. The purpley bit in the middle is the proposed school, and the salmony colour around it is the location of the local centre that is proposed. The grey areas are the residential development, and the bluey area to the east is the employment park. So the design guide sets a character areas for the whole of the development, and a vision and criteria for each of those character areas, and every reserved matters application is required to provide a statement of compliance with the approved design guide, as this application has done. So this is the proposed layout. This provides perimeter blocks of residential properties, a mix of 2, 3 and 4 bed properties, 284 in total, 22 affordable homes. A later slide will show you where the affordable homes are situated. So there's perimeter street blocks with all the properties around the red line boundary, all facing out of the site towards the green spaces that will surround this phase of development. The secondary avenue will run through up the middle of the site. Sorry, I haven't got a mouse to point out. Through the secondary avenue, running up through the centre of the site. There's an area of open space towards the west that is will include planting and a area of a play area. The moving on from there. This identifies the two different character areas from the design guide that this site actually overlaps two different character areas. The darker blue is the hillside view character area, which is the vision for that is it is not quite so dense. The turquoisey area is the garden village area, which is a slightly higher density area. You'll note the red line boundary in the south corner includes an attenuation basin. I'll come on to that shortly, but yeah, the red line boundary does now include that attenuation basin. So this just provides details of the massing and the occupancy for the development. On the massing plan, the orange is two-storey, blue is garages, single-storey, green is two-and-a-half-storey properties, and the pink is three-storey properties, a number of which have integral garages. On the occupancy plan, the pink is two-bed, the green three-bed, blue four-bed, and the yellow a five-bed. So it's showing there's a good distribution of housing types throughout the development. The tenure plan shows the affordable housing for the site, the blue properties, so they're split up into blocks of four to show that they're to comply with the SPD in terms of housing choice. I'll just go back to that. Sorry. So there's 22 affordable units, which is 7.7% of the development, which is in line with the affordable housing criteria in the Section 106 agreement on the outline consent. This identifies the parking for the development. There are a number of garages. There's 82 detached garages, 38 integral garages. There is frontage and side garage driveway parking. The scheme has been amended during the course of the application to reduce the extent of the frontage parking and to incorporate landscaping between the parking, with a maximum of two properties having frontage parking immediately adjacent to each other. The extent of parking, whether it be garage or driveway parking, complies with the parking standards SPD for the size of each of the properties. There is a condition recommended to ensure that garages remain for the parking of vehicles to ensure compliance with the SPD. Garden areas. There are 13 gardens within the developments that are the different colours other than green that fall slightly below the separation and distance SPD for garden sizes. These are predominantly the modern terraced houses, and they are only a small shortfall. It should be noted that the separation and amenity SPD was adopted in 2019. The design guide and the outline consent dates back to 2015, so there was no reference to garden sizes or separation distances at that time and in the outline consent. This is some of the housing types throughout the development. There are 16 house types in total, and that provide a variety of brick colours, render, different design features, gable features, porches, front canopies, etc. The bottom right-hand unit is actually one of the affordable units, and as you'll see, that has no external differentiation from any of the other house types. So, some site photographs. This is looking from the strategic green infrastructure that runs up the centre of the site that where members were this morning. There was a question this morning about the brick building that you can see in the top photograph. That is a redundant utilities building that was associated with the prior telephone mast that was in the centre of the site. It is to be removed. It does sit just inside the site boundary of the Crest development, but it is to be removed. The mast has been relocated. I pointed that out this morning. It's in the employment area, and it's a larger mast than the one that used to sit in the centre of the site. This is looking from the employment area across to the existing houses on Taylor Wimpey and Cameron. So Cameron Phase 2 is still under construction. Again, looking across the site, you can see in the distance on the top photograph the Lawns Farm farmhouse. That sits in the top corner of the Crest development, just outside. So that gives you an idea of the actual siting of the development. Again, that's just looking from the employment roadway into the employment across the site towards. You can see clearly the, and on these ones, you can see the woodland bank that sits outside of the application site. So yeah, on this one you can see where Lawns Farm is on that plan in the bottom corner, and that would sit in right in the corner of the top corner of the development. You can just see it in the distance on that photograph, just to give some context. Okay, so moving on to the housing mix. This gives you an idea of the numbers of houses and house types that have been approved so far across the Branston Locks development. So this is phase five of the residential phases. There's been two phases on the employment as well. But this is phase five of the residential, and this would bring us up to in total 989 houses across the site. Whilst it shows not complete compliance with the SPD in terms of house type and the housing mix, there isn't a requirement within the outline or the design guide, because the SPD was adopted post 2015, but they're not too far away from the SPD, and we've got a lot more other phases still to come through in terms of the rest of the phases of the residential development. So affordable housing requirements of the SPD, up to 1250 is 5% of the first 500 were required to be affordable, and not less than 7.52% thereafter up to 1250. They haven't got to the 1250 yet, we're only on 989, therefore the requirement is 7.52% affordable. On this development, it's 22 units, which is 7.7%, so they are in compliance with the affordable requirements in the section 106. This is the strategic landscape plan for the public open space, which is in towards the northwestern part of the development. Will include tree planting, general planting, and a children's play area. Pathways through, etc., and all the houses surrounding it will face onto the open space, providing appropriate surveillance. As you can see down the right hand side of the secondary avenue, there are street trees proposed the whole way up that right hand side of the secondary avenue. There has been an amendment to the tree type for these trees, and the tree officer felt that the species proposed wasn't appropriate. That has recently been amended to provide ACEs as those street trees, and recommended by the tree officer. So there is two plans that need to be amended in the plans list, because those have only been received in the last week. There are 22 street trees and 22 trees within the area of open space. moving on, this is an extract from the Open Space Strategic Master Plan. As part of the outline consent, there was a condition regarding open space for details to be submitted. This is part of the plan that was submitted and approved for the whole site. Basically, it provides strategic green space surrounding each of the phases of residential development. These areas include all the National Forest planting that is required for the whole development, and provides planting and biodiversity mitigation measures. So the areas surrounding each of the phases provides those. There is also an attenuation basin in the bottom corner of this particular site. That is now included in the red line boundary because to comply with the comments from the flood authority, that attenuation basin will need to be extended to accommodate this development of 284 houses. This also shows the open space in a slightly different position to that we're now being asked to consider. It has been moved because a well was found within the site, so the open space needed to include the area of the well. That's a wider area from the strategic master plan that shows the green spaces surrounding each of the phases. So you've got Cameron Homes, phase one, bottom left, phase two, and then Taylor Wimpey to the right of that, and then Crest to the north of it, with the green spaces surrounding it. So moving on to report, consultations, there was no objections from highways or education. All the contributions for education were included in the outline and the section 106, and as I mentioned, a new primary school will be provided within the site to the east of this phase of the development. The Flood Authority, there was a considerable negotiation between the Flood Authority and the applicants. They have agreed some the drainage details that have now been submitted are capable of providing the appropriate drainage, but conditions 39 and 40 on the outline consent will still need to be discharged to provide the final detail. Archaeology, condition 53 on the outline remains applicable. There are two rights of way that run through the site, but the Nurtons, on behalf of the developers, have already made an application for these to be diverted that is with Staffs County Council at the moment. The Environment Agency have raised no objections. Environmental Health, no objections, subject to the discharge of a series of conditions on the outline consent. And housing, they're happy with the affordable mix. Disappointed they're all shared ownership, but there is no requirement for there to be a split on any particular phase, just across the whole of the Branston Locks development. Branston Parish Council, ward members and neighbours, no representations have been received. So policies taken into consideration, the NPPF, the local plan, design guide, parking standards, SPD, the separation distance amenity SPD, and the Branston neighbourhood plan. So the principle of the development at the site was approved under the outline consent, the design guide and the section 106 agreement in 2015, and the proposals submitted are in compliance with those three. The design and layout of the development complies with the requirements of the outline, design guide and the 106 agreement. The layout provides a variety of house types with similar themes. Affordable housing will be provided on the site in line with the requirements of the Section 106 agreement. In terms of amenity, whilst the proposed layout falls short on some separation distances and amenity space requirements of the SPD, there is no significant impacts on residential amenity for the future residents. And it should be noted that the SPD was adopted after the outline consent. Highway matters. The development raises no adverse highway safety issues. The road layout is in line with the approved design guide. The parking meets the requirements of the SPD and the application has been made to divert the existing footpath links. Historical environment. There is no heritage assets within the immediate vicinity of the site. The closest is the conservation area, which is the canal, which sits to the east, some way from the site. Flood and drainage. Following extensive negotiations, the Flood Authority and the red line boundary was extended to include the existing attenuation basin that will need to be extended. The Flood Authority is satisfied an appropriate drainage scheme can be provided on site, with the final details to be agreed under the discharge of the conditions on the outline. Biodiversity. Protected Species Mitigation Report has been submitted, which includes results from a recent walkover of the site to update from the original reports for the outline consent. The report concludes that the proposals are unlikely to significantly impact on local wildlife population and provides general mitigation measures for the site. An informative relating to hedgehog highways is included in the report. So in conclusion, the proposals comply with the local plan, the design SPD, parking standards, separation distance and amenity SPD and the MPPS. Officers have worked closely with the applicants to ensure the best possible outcome for the development. So the recommendation is to approve with conditions as per the report.
Thank you, Barbara, for that. As we have no public speakers, I'd like to open it directly to the committee then. Who would like to start? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. One or two questions relating to the relevant planning history. And I did ask a question this morning about a hotel, thinking I'd seen it, and getting back to the documents, yes, it is in there in terms of the relevant planning history. And a new pub restaurant alongside the primary school and 929 square metres of healthcare plus a residential care home. My question is, we can't afford to lose sight of these during the development process with the different allocations of plots and land. And what is happening to the money that's set aside, for instance, for the healthcare, 929 metres of healthcare? At this moment in time, there is no surgery prepared to take it on. But I don't consider that would be for a lifetime. I would imagine that we could get some kind of doctor's practice to actually take that on at some stage, providing that money is still accessible. So can we have an answer as to that will be protected, please?
The Section 106 agreement was signed by Nurtons, who are the overall developer for the whole of the site. They are retaining all the main infrastructure for the site, so the main roadways, the link road, the secondary avenue, and all the green infrastructure that was shown on that plan that surrounds them, and they will remain responsible for that. They then are selling off different parts of the site in phases to developers. Going back to the... here we go. So the overall design guide. So the purple is the proposed school, and the area in salmon around that is the local centre stroke sort of commercial. So it's anticipated that those other uses would be in that area around the school. In terms of the money, the money that is required, it's a complicated process, but once a phase comes through, there is money that is then eligible to go into an account that covers that particular phase. That's all going into, I believe it's called an escrow account. So it sits there until it's used, basically. So there is a lot of legal process behind it all, and there is deeds of variation to the Section 106 every time another phase comes through, and that money is then released into this escrow account for use. Is that correct? So the money is there. As each phase comes forward, they're required to pay a certain amount of money for education, healthcare, whatever. That money then goes into this account. So that account is gradually growing and will be used at various points to do the things that they're required to do. And yes, I double-checked the wording on the outline consent. There is definitely included a hotel, a care home, the certain amount of retail, a pub or restaurant, the primary school. So that was all included in the outline. If they want to vary those floor spaces, or they want to say, well, actually, we haven't got anybody who's willing to take on a hotel or whatever, they would need to come in with a variation to the application, and that is something that would come to committee for you to consider.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's the answer I was looking for. I understand escrow accounts and I understand the process. Thank you for confirming that. Okay.
Right, Councillor Legden, please.
Thank you, Chair. Three questions, please. First question is, bus service, when does that come online to the people, please? Second question is, as nice as the green space is, it's a bit disappointing that the properties that are going to be built will have no swift bricks. I'd like to see them used, please. And also, I thought there was a walled garden that was protected somewhere within the development, please.
In terms of buses, sorry, I meant to mention this in my presentation. There is a requirement in the Section 106 for a bus route to be provided. The Spine Road obviously doesn't run through the site yet, so it couldn't serve. But Nurtons are in discussions with Staffs County Council bus people at the moment and are looking to... They're negotiating with them to make available a sum of money to them to start running a bus service as soon as possible down Branston Road to the Second Island, which is where you go into the car park for John Taylor Free School, that will come down to there and then back up again to go back up to Branston. That is likely to happen in the next few months. They're just in negotiations with the bus company to get that going, but it is the county who are taking that on board to get that running rather than the developer. The developer is just going to pay county to make sure that that's provided. So anybody in the occupied houses at the moment would be in just a short walking distance to Branston Road to be able to use that bus service.
Thank you.
Swift bricks, there isn't any proposed because that wasn't anything that was included within the design guide at the time that that was approved. If you want that to be included, it would need to be suggested either as a condition or an informative for that to happen. I'm sorry, what was the third thing? I didn't write it down.
So the third question was a walled garden, I thought there was there. Thank you.
I'm not aware of a walled garden. Shobnall Grange is the listed building homes. There's two homes that are at the top end of the site, the northern end, that the Lovell Homes development sort of surrounds. Now, there is a listed wall that goes round the edge of that whether that's what you're thinking of, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was it.
Right, okay, but that's within the Lovell Homes development at the northern end of the site, and there was a lot of conditions and details put on the Lovell Homes development about that.
That's fine, as long as it's being looked after.
Yeah.
I'm happy. And could I ask that a condition be put on for the Swift bricks, please?
Okay, and you would prefer a condition rather than an informative, has been suggested?
Whichever makes sure it gets done.
Okay. Okay, just bear with them. Any discussion on the possible inclusion of an informative or a condition then on the Swift bricks then, please? Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd like to second Councillor Legge's proposal about Swift bricks. I would just like to make a comment on the rest of the application, if I may. I think it's sad that there are 13 properties on there that are smaller gardens than they should be. I think it's sad that there are 17 separation distances that aren't as big as they should be. But I can understand the need to cram as many houses as we possibly can into a small area. But I'd like to compliment Councillor Legge, not just on the Swift bricks in this case, but on all the other environmental issues that she's brought to bear during my 8 years on this committee. And I think we've improved these things. I think Swift bricks should be included in this one as well. So thank you.
Okay, so we have got a proposer for a condition then for Swift bricks. We have got that seconded over this side. Any further discussion before I ask for a vote? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wondering if Councillor Legge, she normally asks for B bricks as well, of whether she wants. No?
No.
and the other condition that I might. On the Taylor Wimpey site, there are no chimneys. On the Cameron Holmes site, which is this is directly behind, there are chimneys in the development. And I would like to see some chimneys added to the homes, please, to break up the street scene and make it more attractive.
Just in response to that, there are a few properties within Cameron Homes Phase 1 and on the frontage of Taylor Wimpey. The ones on the frontage of Taylor Wimpey, that frontage was actually redesigned after the application came to committee. It was deferred and it was redesigned so that there was a proper frontage. And that, similarly, that's what happened on Cameron Homes, because they were actually fronting onto Branston Road. There is nothing within the design guide at all that refers to chimneys. So they are fully in compliance with the design guide in terms of the properties that they've put forward, because the design guide talks about a variety of house types in terms of size and in terms of height and design and the features that they include, as well as a variety of materials. So they are fully in compliance with that. There is no mention of chimneys within the design guide, but obviously that's up to members if they want to ask for that to be included.
I was just going to come in there and say maybe members are minded to have that, if we did that as an informative based on obviously the policy that Barbara's just been saying.
I would be happy to have it as an informative if the rest of the committee agreed with me.
So in front of us so far, we have got a condition that would like to be added, which has been put forward by Councillor Legge and seconded by Councillor Barker. And I was wondering if Councillor Legge wants those words to be deferred to our officer team.
Yes, please, but could I also add the B bricks? Thank you for reminding me, Councillor Faulkner.
I have made a note of that, so the officers will add that in. So we're happy to second that with the inclusion of the B bricks. Thank you. Any further discussion on that condition before I ask for a vote on that? Okay. Right. If I ask our officer team to provide some words for that so we know what we're voting. Thank you.
That's fine. We'll put together some wording. I think we've got some that we've used previously. I just wanted to add, at the end when I did the recommendation, I should have said subject to an amendment to the plan's condition to include the amended landscaping detail to amend the species of the trees on the secondary avenue, the street trees.
Thank you, Barbara. So then if I can ask them for a show of hands for including the condition about the swift bricks and the bee bricks using similar wording as we've had previously, then please. All those in favour? Thank you. So that is unanimous. Thank you. We will add that condition into there. Do we have any further discussions that we want to raise at this point? Okay, so there's no further discussion. We have the informative on the checklist then. We have that proposed by Councillor Faulkner. Do we have a seconder for that, please? Okay. Councillor Legg then, please. Okay, any further discussion that we need to make on that? Okay then, all those in favour of adding that as an informative for the chimneys, please raise their hands. Okay, so there is an informative that will be added then onto this for the inclusion of some chimneys to the roofscape. Just for the clarity of the recording then, any against on that informative? That's it. All our members have now voted, thank you. Okay. Any further discussion on this before I ask for the motion to be put forward? No. So then I will put forward the motion that we agree to allow this proposal to go forward with the amended plans in place and the addition of the condition and the informative. Can I have a seconder then, please? Councillor Legg. And all those in favour, please. Thank you, that is unanimous. So that will be carried. I would now like to take a 5 minutes or so recess so we can bring our next planning officer on to do the next one. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We'll reconvene now for our second application. Before we start, I've got Sherry just to clarify some issues on this one.
All right. So, as we're all aware, this is a deferred item, and it was deferred for two reasons only. That being that the applicant to provide clarification on the traffic modelling scheme and review of their approach to the master plan, including the location of the local centre, community and car parking areas. Now, as part of our process and procedures, that obviously there are the only matters that obviously are going to be before you today and are the only matters that are going to be debated by members. So just to make it very clear that we're not going over the whole scenario, you know, of what we was debated last time, we're just focusing on those two matters today. I also have got another Councillor Bilth and Councillor Hall were not actually attended at the site visit. I've just had a relook at our constitution. Unfortunately, you can't actually debate. I know you knew that you couldn't vote, but you can't actually debate as well. So obviously for this particular item, neither of you will be able to take part.
So therefore, if either of you would like to just step out of the meeting, you could do, or you could stay in at your preference. Yeah? See how we work from that side.
Okay, so I'll now hand this back to Emily, who is going to run through the issues that were deferred and what we have in front of us today then, please.
Thank you, Chair. So this is application reference P2021-00868, which relates to land bound by Tutbury Road, Rolston Road and Harehedge Lane in Burton. As the Chair has just said, this application was deferred at January's committee and the deferral reasons will be the focus of this presentation. At this point, I would refer members to the update sheet. This includes further representations from Councillor Lamb and a neighbour. Both parties will be speakers at this committee, as will be the applicants. Malcolm Jones from County Highways is also here to respond to any highways matters. Malcolm has been the case officer at the county for this application and was on leave at the time of the January committee. Members will recall that this is a hybrid application including an outline proposal for 500 dwellings, specialist accommodation, local centre, community car park and associated works. All matters are reserved apart from access. The application also includes a full element being a spine road between Tutbury Road and Rolston Road and the associated junctions. The application site is bound by Harehedge Lane to the south, Rolston Road to the east and Tutbury Road to the west. The site is allocated within the local plan as a sustainable urban extension within the settlement boundary and has also been the subject of a previous outline approval of December 2016. The site lies within the neighbourhood plan areas of both Outwoods and Rolston. I will briefly take members through some photographs of the site and its surroundings in the order of the January site visit. So photograph one is taken from Harehedge Lane looking north into the site. Photograph 2 is taken from Harehedge Lane looking to the western corner of the site with dwellings in Wilson Way shown in the background. Photograph 3 is looking north from Harehedge Lane showing the boundary with Rolston Road. Photograph 4 is looking to the eastern boundary with dwellings visible on Rolston Road. Photograph 5 is the view from Harehedge Lane to Rolston Road, the northern boundary of the site. Photograph 6 is looking east along Harehedge Lane with Wilson Way shown to the left-hand side. 7 is looking to the northern boundary taken from Tutbury Road. 8 is looking east from Tutbury Road showing the entrance to St Modwen School on the right. 9 is looking north along Tutbury Road. 10 is looking south along Tutbury Road. 11 is looking towards the southeastern corner from Tutbury Road with St Modwen School shown to the right-hand side. Moving back to the proposals, this slide shows the proposed route of the 6.5 metre wide spine road between Tutbury Road and Rolston Road, which will feature traffic calming measures. This slide shows the proposed spine road access onto Tutbury Road. This shows the proposed spine road access onto Rolston Road. Moving on to the outline proposals in detail, these include up to 500 affordable and market housing units, specialist accommodation, local centre buildings of up to 650 square metres of floor space, comprising retail uses and other complementary uses such as those of the sale of food and drink, financial or professional services, indoor sport and recreation, medical services or offices. In addition, approximately 5.46 hectares of multifunctional green and blue infrastructure is proposed. This includes tree retention and planting, native woodland to the northern rural edge, play areas and suds. The proposals also include a new junction off Harehedge Lane to serve the local centre and community car park. This slide shows the illustrative master plan provided by the applicant, showing how the proposals could be assimilated into the locality. You can see the spine road running through the northern end of the site with a specialist accommodation to Tutbury Road. The local centre and community car park remain to be served off the Harehedge Lane junction. This plan shows how reserve matters applications could come forward, providing suds to the southeastern corner of the site with green infrastructure running through the centre of the site. Woodland buffer to the north with approximately 300 dwellings in the southern portion of the site and 200 in the northern. The applicant has also submitted some illustrative pictures to give an indication of how a scheme could come forward. This one looks towards the south-east of the site, showing a specialist accommodation and green buffer to the northern boundary. This one looks towards the northwest of the site, showing the SUDS local centre and community car park in the foreground. I will now give a brief overview of consultations, representations and other matters which were considered previously before moving on to the salient deferral matters. As per this slide, and as members will be aware from the committee report, there are no objections in principle from any statutory consultees. Members will be aware that Councillor Lamb has submitted a series of detailed comments in relation to highway safety as per the committee report and its appendices and also the update sheet. I will come to these matters in detail shortly. The parish councils of Outwood, Stretton and Rolston all raised concerns about the proposals, including highway safety matters. 52 letters of objection have been received from neighbours, which also raised highway safety and residential amenity concerns. These are summarised in more detail within the committee report. Moving on, these are the relevant development plan policies and SPDs used in the assessment of the proposals. The updated committee report also makes reference to the recently revised Housing Choice SPD. This has not resulted in any material change in the officer assessment. In terms of the principle of the proposals, design and impact on the character of the area, ecology, historic environment, flood risk and drainage matters, it is considered that the scheme could progress to reserve matter stages without harm, particularly given the proposed safeguarding conditions and informatives. These include ecological enhancement measures, retention of historic hedgerows and a new drainage network, amongst others. I'm now going to deal with the two salient matters for consideration at this stage, namely residential amenity and highway safety. The first matter to focus on is the location of the local centre and community car park off Harehedge Lane to the west of the existing dwelling at Najulian Barn. In this respect, the applicant has submitted a land use review, which concludes that, in their opinion, is the most suitable location for these uses. The illustrative master plan submitted shows that a local centre with a single-storey floor area of 650 square metres can be physically accommodated on the site. This is a scheme that has always been shown on the application submissions and therefore subject to consultation, and which in terms of the floor area size the applicant wishes now to be referenced in the condition of any approval. This is rather than the 500 square metres set out in the draft condition on the January committee report. The neighbours have requested a green buffer of 20 metres and for the construction of a brick wall to the proposed local centre and their northern boundary to mitigate impacts on their residential amenity. However, whilst the concerns of the neighbour are fully respected, it is considered that the impact on adjacent dwellings will only be capable of a fully informed assessment in respect of their physical scale and noise and disturbance matters through the submission of reserve matters applications. It is therefore concluded that the outline submissions demonstrate that, in principle, a scheme could be progressed without necessarily giving rise to negative impacts on existing residential amenity. Moving on to highway matters. This slide shows the proposed access onto Harehedge Lane. This slide shows the Harehedge Lane junction, which would provide access and egress to the local centre and community car park. However, as per the single red arrow, beyond those, there will be a one-way only access northwards into the residential areas. A condition requires the community car park is delivered at the time of the 50th dwelling occupation. This would seem an appropriate time to advise members that Mark Evans from County Highways, who attended January's committee, has provided the clarification relating to potential traffic restrictions along Harehedge Lane. As per paragraph 1.9 of the committee report, the position is essentially there is no firm scheme being proposed at this stage. Any progress would be dependent upon making and securing successful bids from central government funding. This slide shows the proposed improvements at the junctions of Harehedge Lane, Bitham Lane and Rolston Road. This includes the provision of a signalised pedestrian crossing on the arm to connect it to the proposed footpath network to the new development, which, as per the update sheet, is considered reasonable by County Highways. Also, as set out on the update sheet, County Highways comment that there is a balance to be struck between the traffic and the pedestrians using the junction. The addition of crossings on all arms would no doubt benefit pedestrians, but would, by increasing the time between traffic being given a green light, have a significant impact on the capacity of the junction. County Highways also advise that there is an existing process to determine where lollipop attendants are positioned, and this will be the same following this development. Malcolm Jones from County Highways will be able to respond to any questions members have in relation to highways matters, and you should also hear from the applicant about their perspective on these matters following this presentation. However, as per the committee report and update sheet, members will note that County Highways Authority continue to raise no objection in principle to the application. There are a number of conditions relating to highways. These include the relevant highways works in connection with the provision of the spine road, including traffic calming measures, along with off-site works to the access point. A revised condition, number 34, along with an associated additional informative, are set out on the update sheet. These are for the improvement works to Harehead Lane, Bitham Lane Junction, to draw attention to the necessary robust process to deliver highway safety mitigation commensurate to the development impacts. In addition, a contribution has been added for £4,000 towards the consultation and processing costs of the traffic restriction order proposed on the access road into the residential area off Harehead Lane to the north of the local centre. This is shown with the other planning obligations on this slide and also within the committee report. So, in conclusion, officers consider that the proposal complies with the local plan, MPPF and Rolleston and Outwoods neighbourhood plans and the SPDs previously stated. All relevant consultations with statutory consultees have been carried out and they raise no objection. Therefore, on this basis, the recommendation is, as previously, for approval, as per the conditions of the report as amended by the update sheet and subject to the relevant Section 106 legal agreement.
Thank you, Emily. So, we have got some public speakers to call forward. And first, I would like to call Mrs. Julia Allen to step forward.
I'm going to give out some photographs to the committee members, or can we give those photographs?
Well, they have all been submitted to our members here on an update sheet, so they have all had access to those photographs. Yeah, we can do that. Right, so as previous, we have got your 3 minutes, which will be timed by our officer, who will give you a 1 minute and 30-second warning. And again, if we can make it clear that it is just on those items we have deferred this committee meeting for. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm, as introduced, I'm Julia Allen, planning agent representing Mr. and Mrs. Louch, who live at Nigellium and Barn. Nigellium and Barn is located on the southern tip of the site, and the previous plan that you had showed exactly where Nigellium and Barn, so I hope everybody is clear where it is. So, yes, you've been asked to return today to consider whether the proposed retail unit is in the most suitable location along with the highways. I'm here just to talk about the highway, the location of the retail unit. So the master plan has not been amended since the last meeting, and therefore it is our view that there is sufficient doubt remains as to whether or not the retail unit is located in the best place. So that is the question I ask you. We've prepared some photographs, and if I can present number one, which is the first photograph. Nigellium Barn is a historic brick barn, And the previous planning applications that I've been involved with for my client demonstrate that East Staffordshire Borough Council do consider that Nigellio N Barn has a historic asset value and is worthy of safeguarding the character and appearance. So in this proposal, the master plan details the retail unit next to the western boundary, and photograph two, the existing boundary here shows a timber post and rail fence behind their double garage. Photo three shows the openness of the boundary. You'll see there's an existing pedestrian gate. Mr and Mrs Louch have been maintaining some of the land, and there's an existing ditch there for the over 10 years since they've been there. And that ditch and drainage is not shown on their master plan. But what Mr and Mrs Louch are concerned about is how is this boundary line going to be made secure from the new retail unit. There are no details of this. Obviously, this is of great concern. Mr and Mrs Louch have apologies. So photograph number five, please. Flick over four to five. After the committee meeting in January, we contacted Homes England and had significant conversations with them. Photograph six shows that Nigellio N Barn is all single storey, and the photographs demonstrate that any retail unit will overlook their garden and have a detrimental impact upon their residential amenity. So we have had extensive discussions with Homes England about a high boundary wall. Photograph 7, 8, all the remaining photographs show that. We understand that this protective measure was going to be included in the master plan today, but we are significantly disappointed that there is no definitive solution provided for Mr and Mrs Louch. So the stress and worry that hang over them, unless their concerns are addressed in this meeting today, they will be subjected to many, many months of worry and stress before the reserve matters are brought forward. And we appeal to you today as a committee that that a series of conditions are imposed to provide the protection that this historic barn and Mr and Mrs Louch do require. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your time. Okay. I would like to pull now Mr. Raghu Sitambalam. Yeah. I hope I pronounced your surname correctly. And again, you have 3 minutes just on those issues we are discussing today. Can you just pop your microphone on for me? Thank you.
Do I need to start again? Or Okay. In the preparation of the planning application, SCC were clear that a new modelling exercise was required to support our proposal rather than rely upon the previously approved scheme. The scope of the modelling was agreed with SCC, which included accounting for development approved since the previous consent was granted and utilising the Staffordshire model in line with other developments across the county. We've adhered to this and provided additional information where requested, which has been assessed by both National Highways and SCC as part of the part of the application process. We therefore consider our submission not only to be robust but also consistent with the planning requirements for a development of this scale. Following committee, I've met and have been in dialogue with Councillor Lamb, which has informed the post-committee submissions made. I found this insight to be helpful and constructive to bring this application before members again. With regards to the second point around the location of the local centre and community car park, we've provided a submission to set out the rationale for the master planning undertaken. This articulates that whilst there's been some flexibility over the location for the specialist accommodation for the elderly, that the local centre position is informed, deliverable and supported by market opinion. Our role in the housing market is more than just the delivery of homes. We aim to create places, and the local centre, we believe, is key to the success of this as a place, as well as providing an important facility for existing and future residents. We fully acknowledge the concerns raised by the owners of Nigellio N Barn, and that we've been unable to adjust the design to a mutually agreeable solution, but would note the officer commentary around character and amenity impacts within the committee report, and that this matter would need to be appraised again as part of a future reserved matters application. In conclusion, I feel that the time has been well spent I feel that the time's been well spent working with the SBC and SCC to bring this application back before members. We're really proud of this scheme and believe it will make a positive contribution to Burton, and as such trust that members that can support the officer recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And finally we'll move on to our ward councillor, Councillor Lamb, if you'd like to step forward. Three. So again, you have your 3 minutes to discuss our items.
Can I thank the Planning Committee for deferring this application to get a number of major safety concerns addressed related to the traffic volumes? While I think there's been some positive steps forward and greater clarity and transparency on the solution, I do still have two concerns that hopefully will be addressed at the committee by Mr. Evans or by adding conditions. I welcome Home Union's review of the traffic model volumes using the actual volumes I was seeing to model the real impact. In their report, they say increasing the Biffin Lane right turns to the actual vehicles per hour would worsen junction performance, but this could be mitigated by operating the pedestrian crossing as an uncontrolled crossing. Then they say the removal of the control of the controlled pedestrian crossing is not considered to be a positive outcome for dealing with the pre-existing highway safety issues at this junction. As they say, pre-existing safety issues. So we're told we have to balance safety with the worsening of the junction performance. And I agree we should err on the side of safety. But why only on one of the arms of the junction? I viewed the junction yesterday morning from 8 to 8.45 when children were arriving for school. All three junctions had similar number of interruptions, about 40. But the junction on the Horningmost side of the junction had 50 more people cross than on the proposed location of the controlled crossing. So why have the pedestrian control crossing just there? Why don't you have it at the other side of the road? If we want safety, why don't we have control crossing on all arms of the junction? I think without that, well, we will have an even less safe junction. At the moment, vehicles entering that junction have to slow down to check from traffic from three directions. In future, you will get a green light and think you can drive off. During school opening and closing, you will now find a lollipop attendant who, while they are stopping the traffic, will be backing up the junction, causing more frustration for drivers who will then be even more eager to pull away quickly when they get a green light. I've seen no justification from the County Council why there couldn't be a control crossing on all arms of the junction. I'm hoping we can get an answer on this. Clearly, it seems a dangerous junction with three lollipop attendants there at the moment. If we want safety and to protect the vulnerable, have controlled crossings on all the junctions. Yes, it will have an impact on journey performance, but let's be consistent. How many accidents are necessary at this new format of the junction before that will take place? I'm told that this junction is placed for a safety assessment that will take place when the lollipop attendant stands. Will this be the case? Who will enforce this? Where is this conditioned? Please get some clarity on the crossing proposals at this junction. In terms of the route in the community centre, it says a section 106 payment was secured for the introduction of the traffic regulation order to provide the one-way northward access. Can you confirm this will be managed by East staff to ensure it takes place? And I would like clarity from the County Council on how this would actually work. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb, for that. So before I throw this back open to committee, if I ask our officers and our highways chap, would you like to respond to those matters that have just been raised?
Sort of working backwards as I was trying to take notes. In terms of the one-way system that's proposed, that's controlled by traffic regulation order, which there's a process for imposing it. People are able to object to it, but that will run through as part of the overall process of delivering the development. In terms of committing to lollipop attendance in the future, the way that is assessed as to where they go, what their need is, then that's the same process as it is now. If they're needed now, they may be needed then, but the same assessment process will be carried out. Same with the safety assessments to where they stand. So that through that process, it shouldn't be any more dangerous for them than it is now or any other person stepping into the middle of the road. In terms of the provision of pedestrian crossings on all arms, as I said on the update sheet, yes, it would be a benefit to pedestrians, but it will have a significant impact on the junction capacity. The assessment that we have to make against the central government guidance is if the impact is severe on traffic in the area, then that's an objection. That's a possible objection. At the moment, the way the scheme is modelled, it is not severe. That's the choice from the applicant. That's their submitted scheme. A submitted scheme with pedestrian crossings on all arms will inevitably be worse in that respect. It hasn't been modelled. I don't know yet what impact that would have. If it pushed to severe, it may give a problem with bringing the development forward. It's something that would have to be looked at. But again, there is a further process of delivering this junction in terms of a technical approval where it will be checked that whatever design comes forward will be in accordance with technical guidance and safety requirements in the legislation. I think that was everything. Was there anything else? Have I missed something? Which one have I missed? The one place was chosen. That was the developer's submission. It was chosen to connect through to the footways, the footpaths in the development. So there's a possible route through to the school on the far side of the development.
Okay, thank you for that. And I'd like to pass over to Alan.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's just maybe just useful just to provide a little bit of an overview, because obviously Malcolm is providing specialist advice on the highways, and that the important thing to remember is that planning and the Highways Act are different legislation, but they run concurrently. In terms of the robustness of the junctions, we've made reference on the update sheet to the fact that it'll be subject to planning condition and technical approval under the section 278 of the Highways Act, so there's a dual process in place to inform the robustness. I think the other thing to remember, and Malcolm just referenced that fact, is that at the end of the day, members are here to determine a planning application, and it's to review what the impact of that development is on the locality, and it's also to form part of that process that the development connects into the existing network. And as Malcolm has just referenced, that's the reason why the actual the arms being proposed by the developers in terms of the signalised junction. One area that strays beyond planning and solely into highways is the lollipop attendance. That's a highways function, and that's not something you would ever condition on a planning permission unless there's a specific generation of need over and above what's existing. But under the highways legislation, you've got that protection in place. As Malcolm says, there's a review process. I think just on one other point, because obviously there was another speaker beforehand, and that was the neighbours on the adjoining property. Obviously, in terms of planning applications and the due process, members will be familiar with the fact that applications come before them in an outline form, which is the case here today, and also in a more detailed form. In terms of any impacts on any residential properties, any assessment will has to be made on a case-by-case basis. And it's reasonable at the point in time that that comes in the future that any developer is allowed to provide a scheme which has to deliver and be assessed on its own impacts in terms of that impact on the residential property. So it's not saying at this point in time that there won't necessarily be protection, there won't necessarily be any fences, walls, buffers, etc. between the development and the adjoining property. What it says is that that's a part of the application process that follows at reserve matter stage. I think we have used informalities, and it's been discussed in committee on numerous occasions. There's no reason why members can't say that they would obviously point or make it clear that any developer should have due regard to that particular relationship between the property and the adjacent. But equally, that's the same with any adjacent property. And there's a clear process, and it's the reserve matter stage for those detailed assessments.
Thank you, Alan. Before I open it up, I would just like to point out that we did have a very late submission from Atwoods Parish, and I have felt that because it refers to other things other than what our reserve matters, what our deferred matters were today, I will not read that out, and we will not take that into account, because, as I say, it was not just on those matters that we are dealing with this afternoon. Okay, so I'd like to open this up to the floor for any further discussion points while we have our highways guy here, if we have any matters. Councillor Toon.
Yes, last time we were referred to Atherston Way, where the children come down, and the entrance is not far away from Atherston Way, so that will make that corner more dangerous. So all the children coming from Ralston come across Atherston Way, and we were asking then about were you going to do anything there?
Not that I know of. I'll have a look and see, and we'll have a conversation as part of the reserve matters. I'll have a chat to the agency if there's a... Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, we have to look at the impact of the development. So if it's an existing problem that's not impacted by... Okay, we'll have, I'll have a look. Okay, I'll have a look at it.
Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'd just like to ask Malcolm. He said that if the congestion on the road became severe, then that would give cause to objection. Who's going to object? Where's the problem coming from? Because from what I can see, Councillor Lamb's idea about four, you know, one on each branch of the road is quite a sensible and logical thing. And if it cuts down the traffic, so be it. I mean, people will learn that that's not the place to go at school time in the morning or at night. So, you know, who's going to object? What's going to be the result?
If that's the way we're going to go, then it would have to be modelled, and the impact of it would be considered by us, and we would have to take a view on whether that hit the severe meaning under the MPPF.
So, and just for clarity, you're saying that what we have in front of us has gone through all the modelling, and you're happy that what we have in front of us at the moment is not as severe?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's what the modelling shows at the moment. Okay. But the other scheme hasn't been modelled, and we don't know. But there is, as I said before, there's another process. Even if something gets permission, it's got to go through a technical approval process. And the difficulty is, as the highway authority, if we've got a junction that becomes a problem, then we get a lot of people screaming at us saying, what are you going to do about this junction? And if we've just put four pedestrian crosses on that creates a massive problem, we will get pressure from elsewhere to take them out, and then we get that conflict. So it's something we have to consider from both sides.
Yes, thank you. I'm aware of that, and it was always a problem right from the very first looking at this application. So, yes, thank you.
Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Just going back to that same point, it was quite clear from Councillor Lamb's first recommendations that he was looking for control on all four legs, and we deferred it to get some kind of definitive answer. And what you're saying, we haven't got a definitive answer because you've not modelled it on four legs, and I'm really disappointed with that. And I recognise your problem in terms of getting serious issues resolved. I've got lots of issues all over the patch that we haven't resolved over the last 5 years, so I'm not really happy with the County Council Highways Department, particularly on this.
If I could just answer that question in terms of, it's not in a sense to be disappointed with the County Council. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, the County Council can only deal with what developers put in front of us. Obviously, Councillor Lambs have been aware. He's had meetings with the actual agent for this application on site. Ultimately, they've had reviewed Councillor Lambs' modelling. They've decided that they wish to still pursue just a single crossing point, the signalised crossing point on that junction. So as the local planning authority and the county council, we are reliant upon the developer's proposals. They ultimately model, not the county council, the developer's model, the county council review, and we review, and we can only review what's proposed to us. So the developer went away, and he was at attendance at the planning committee, ultimately at the end of the day, I mean, through the chair, you could ask the question, would they want to model any more, or do they just want this application to be determined singly on this highway? It's because they have heard what you've said, but they set out in that report that's attached as an appendix as to their reasoning why they were still proposing that, and therefore it's for us as officers, we can just review what's proposed to us.
Thank you for that, and I withdraw my comments to our county council representative there. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong person. In view of what Alan's just told us, I can't understand why Homes England have not actually taken up the opportunity to model that on four legs rather than just one. And I would ask that this committee request that be done and brought back to us to see if there is a problem, because I am really unhappy about the safety of people crossing that road. And I certainly confirm what Councillor Barker says. If people find there's a problem with a car getting down that junction, down that road at that time of day, so I have exactly the same problem where I live with the John Taylor Free School and the Ricknell School, I choose a different time to go. So I would err on the side of the safety of pedestrians at this moment in time, and I would like to see us ask for a modelling of the four legs, please.
Okay. Would you like to just confirm what you've just said?
Yes. I mean, what I think is important, because ultimately at the end of the day, as I say, the application's been deferred and it's the applicant's proposals, I would suggest that the question get put through the chair whether they wish to, well, effectively would be to accept a deferral again to go and do the modelling, or whether they still wish for the application to be determined on its own merits at this committee. And I think that's a the right question to ask at this time.
Okay, thank you, Alan. I asked the chair if she could actually address that situation.
Okay. Would the applicant like to come forward? So you've heard what has been said so far, and how would you comment?
We'd wish the application to be determined as it is. So we looked previously at signalising multiple arms of this. What you can't make out from that image there is that there's a number of private access points, and this design has actually been through a safety audit, and it's been submitted to Staffordshire County Council through the Section 278 approval process. And my concern is that if we were to go away and do it, we'd come back with exactly the same design. Because by signalising all four junctions, we end up with something potentially that we wouldn't get through a technical approval process or a safety audit process. And ultimately, what we're trying to do, what we're putting forward before members today, is something that we believe to be deliverable, subject to the Section 278 technical approval process.
Okay. Thank you for that clarity. I'm going to go back to Councillor Barker, and then I'll come across to this side.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we've got to look at this realistically and say that really Homes England, for their development, have put in a pedestrian system that goes with their development. Anything further than that is probably dealing with an existing problem which isn't part of their concerns. Much though we'd like it to be done, and much though we'd like the general safety, but I think we've got to be fair and stick within the rules that we've got.
Alan.
Sorry, I was going to ask, just add one point in on the highways issue, is that if members remember, we've made reference to it, the previous outline planning permission from 2015, that showed actually a double mini roundabout at that junction with no pedestrian crossing or signalised junctions. So, I mean, ultimately that had a planning permission, and then ultimately also had a reserve matters approval. As part of this application, there has been quite a significant revisit of that whole highway proposal. So whilst I think everybody takes on board, and there's this debate about X number of signalised junctions on that junction as it stands as proposed today, I think ultimately what we also have to bear in mind is that there's been a significant move forward, and that the developer scheme today, if it's signalised even on one arm, is a big step forward from that approval that we had previously with the double mini roundabouts.
Thank you, Alan. Would you like to come in, Sherry?
Well, I mean, just really, just to clarify that, I tell members when we're looking at things that are of this sort of technical nature that, you know, if you are going to refuse something on this particular ground, you know it has to be severe. You've got your highways officer obviously explaining that it's been modelled. You've got obviously the applicant, they've modelled it, so that's then come under scrutiny from highways. So all I would say is, and my only thing I can guide members is, it has to be, are you sure that whatever evidence, that if you were a reason for refusal, that that would add up to scrutiny from a technical nature, or obviously then, you know, we do expose ourselves to it not standing scrutiny at an appeal. So just to make you aware that it is with highways, as you know, and the guidance all says that it has to be severe if you're going to use this as a reason for refusal.
Thank you, Sherry. Councillor Legg and then Councillor Walker.
Thank you. I wonder if you could just go over again, you mentioned the word due regard. I do think a lack of it has been shown to the person who commented again about the barn. I did ask for the, whatever, the centres, whatever, retail, to be moved away. But instead, I see very little change, and just offering a brick wall to look at is very poor.
So I think that kind of picked up on that point. You're in the realms of the developers being asked by committee to go away and review that process, and they've come back and said that that's the most appropriate location for it. They've asked us again to determine the application on its merits. Going back to the, it doesn't necessarily have to be a brick wall. It can be any form of boundary treatment, but that's a matter that you would pursue and look at as part of the reserve matters approval. I mean, it's quite common for any development proposal to come forward, and you would review what the actual boundary treatment was and how it relates to the existing property. The property sits next to a site that's allocated for development in the local plan.
Would you like to come back on that, Alice?
Yes, please. So, could I have some suggestions then from the developer about what sort of boundary treatment the people in the barn can expect then?
I think we might be asking too much at this stage. I know we have shown our concerns, and I'm sure that the agent can take those concerns back for the next stage. As our officer has said, we tend to get those things through in our next stage, so the reserve matters for whatever part of development goes there, and they would need to look at the locality and obviously the residential amenity around that space at that time, and we can come back to the treatments and the separation distances and all of that at that point.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Chair. Yes, I did. When I answered the question after they spoke, I mentioned the fact that if members had specific concerns, that the developer would need to bear in mind when they came forward at the reserve matter stage, that it's reasonable to flag those up and informative, so that they bear that in mind when they're submitting their reserve matters.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Can I come back then and put an informative on it? I'd like a living hedge so they've got something nice to look at. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got a proposal for an informative for the boundary treatment to be looked at in terms of making it... let's have a look. Just that it be considered as part of the submission. Okay, so that the boundary treatment itself is considered for the amenity of residents, I guess, for that side when it comes in for its reserve matters. Are you happy with that?
Yes, a living hedge, yes.
Did you want to definitely put those wordings into there?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we will put that into there. Do I have a seconder for that? Oh, okay.
Not finished yet. When I say a living hedge, I don't mean just some little piggly edge. I'm looking at something like that's outside the Nestles factory in Hatton.
Substantial.
Yes, all the way along.
Okay. Officers, are we happy with wording to be put to that?
Yes.
Okay. So I have the proposal. Do I have a seconder for that then, please? Okay, Councillor Barker. At this stage, any further debate on the informative? So then, can I have a show of hands, all those in favour of adding that informative for the boundary treatment then, please? Okay. Yeah, unanimous decision. That will be added to application when we discuss that going forward.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Walker, next then, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going back to the junction, sorry about this. could you put the picture up of the junction again, please? On there, it looks like you've altered the junction. Am I right on that drawing?
Sorry,
could you
yes.
just explain it a bit for people then? Because I know it well, but others don't, so it might just have a...
I think you can see faintly on there the existing road markings, which are basically straight giveaways on the two side arms and a straight ahead on the main arm. Those are being pulled back to provide stop lines for traffic signals. There's an island appearing on the end of Harehedge Lane, which is angled like that because of the sweat path analysis for vehicles turning right in. And there's a small ghost island right turn facility heading south into Harehedge Lane and north into Bitham Lane. There's a crossing going in at the top, as you can see, and signal heads.
So you're taking some of that pavement, are you, on there?
No, it shouldn't be. It looks like the pavements are being slightly extended rather than reduced.
Right, OK.
You see on the bottom right-hand corner, on the southeast corner, you see that's coming out a bit. There's provision on the northeast corner, and you can see it's all there. And on the southwest, it's not changing.
And obviously I know that junction well. I used to live across the road from it. There's always accidents there. It's a horrendous junction. And at school time, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
In my mind, when you see them coming out of school, they come in droves and they come across from the opposite side. So to my mind, the crossing's on the wrong side of Ralston Road. It should be on the southern side towards the Horninglow end, because that's where they come in droves, like waves across into Bitham Lane. Very few go across that side.
Yes.
You know, with the lollipop ladies, I was fighting for the lollipops 10 years ago to keep them there. You know, so we don't know how long we're going to have lollipop ladies either,
no.
do we? So we do need some sort of traffic control on there. And I think probably traffic lights or some sort of zebra crossing would be more effective sometimes than, you know, the traffic wardens there, because they'll let one car through, then sporadically another one, where at least we know what we're doing with the traffic controls.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I think you're definitely on the wrong side of Ralston Road.
Oh yeah, I mean the difficulty is, to a certain extent, is finding the room for it. The further you come south, then you've got to move.
I appreciate that.
You've got to move the stop lane back, and you've got a longer crossing point, so you're moving further away from the desire line. It may be on the other side, but it's coming right the way down before you can get across, because you've got to come across where that where the radius is. Because if you go across into there. And then you've got to move the stop lane back. And at the moment, you've already got a massive amount of dead time. Because if you're coming north, right, then and you've got a green light, for example, all the others are on red. Once you cross that stop line, nothing else can go green until you've cleared the junction. So the last car that comes over that. So all that is just being held on a red.
Yeah,
and the pedestrian cross, you've got a long pedestrian crossing, that's holding for even longer because you've got to give even more time. So the more pedestrian crossings you put on there, the more time you lose. And the more time you lose, the less vehicle capacity.
And is that the best we can come up with? Is there no other solution to that area? Because I'm just trying to, while we're here in this stage, trying to get our best solution.
Yeah, I mean, as I said in the little report, it's a balance. You know, you could put four pedestrian crossing arms on there that would get called all the time in the morning peak. And nothing else will move.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's a choice. Now, we as a highway authority have to balance both users of the roads.
You know, is it absolutely perfect? No, probably isn't. Is it the best we can get that serves all purposes? Yeah, probably is. Mm. You know, I mean, if you're coming up that way, then you cross Bitham Lane up and across. There's different routes in, but it's not perfect. But as you know, it's like when you ask somebody for directions and they go, well, I wouldn't start from here if I was you. It's that sort of situation. You've got a junction that doesn't really work now.
No, not at all. Yeah,
yeah, you know, and we're putting on an allocated site 500 houses in there.
Yeah. And just adding to the congestion.
Okay. Yeah, you've got a problem, and, you know, is this a perfect solution for everybody? No. Is there a perfect solution for everybody? Again, no.
I just wonder whether the traffic lights are at the wrong end, though. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, Councillor Walker, if we remember, this is what is putting in front of us.
Yes, I know that, yeah.
And I know that Barbara wants to come in on this.
Yeah, just to remind you that that's obviously an existing situation where there is, you're saying there's school children crossing at various points on there. The crossing has been put in to serve anybody coming out of the development. It isn't a requirement of the developer to deal with any current situation. They are dealing with providing a crossing point for anybody coming out of the development and heading that way. That's why it's on that northern part of the junction rather than the southern. If something's needed on the southern, that is an existing scenario and it isn't something that this developer needs to take on board and deal with. It's something that maybe Staffs County Council need to look at in terms of pedestrian and pupil safety in relation to the local schools. It isn't something necessarily that the developer needs to take on board. And I would just reiterate that the developer has made it clear that they would like the application as to be determined as put forward in its current form.
Just worth asking while the County Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Any further debate? Councillor Faulkner.
Just for an added footnote, when this was originally discussed at planning going back many years, I actually suggested at the time that the County Council do a road modelling and a traffic modelling exercise on the junction there and also the junction at the Beacon, because I knew that there would be problems at that time, never mind now, about 7 years later. But it was never actually taken up, unfortunately.
Thank you for that comment. I think we can all agree that we want to put our highway safety and the safety of everyone as our priority. But the point that we have to do from a planning point of view is say that any application that goes on there is not to deal with what is already there and trying to get them to resolve issues that no are there. We have got the scheme in front of us today. We have got that crossing place, subject to it obviously going through the right legislation and checking processes. Whilst we have that, we have got the discussion that we've put in the informative for treatments for the residential side and where the local centre is going. So I feel that we have those points now that we have deferred this application from, unless anyone else has something further to mention. No? So then, if I can put forward then the motion that we permit this development subject to the conditions, the update sheet, the informative, and the Section 106 agreement, so that will be for the outline planning for up to the 500 dwellings and obviously the rest of that outline planning application, and for the full planning application for the access points and the spine road. So if I put that forward for the vote, or the, can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Barker. Any further comments before I do go for the vote? No, all those in favour then please show their hands. Those against, and those abstaining, please. So that then has been carried, and those permissions have been granted. Thank you.
Right.
So now we move on to our agenda items. Can I please ask that members have... Oh, would our two members like to return back to our committee, please? Oh, three even. Sorry. Councillor Lamb back again. They're no good. They're no good. We know. Okay, so just wait for Councillor Bilt to return. Okay. So, members of our committee, then. Can I ask that members have considered the appeals received and determinants? Thank you. And let me find my right bit of paper where I was. If we go on to the private part of this meeting, then. Oh, I haven't done the. It's gone there. The planning applications that have been submitted as well. Have we noted those? Because that's missing off the bottom of my sheet. Right, we'll move on to the private part then. In accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of this meeting, as it is likely in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda.